All right, welcome to the Free Stretch Week 16 edition. Brought to you by Bill Curry Ford here on Joe Bucks Fan. I am Bobby Fenton. We are set for a Saturday afternoon matinee with the Bucks and the Houston Texans. And thank you for tuning the show in today. I always appreciate all you guys. I am sorry that the show is a day late this week. Sometimes I do a Friday show instead of a Thursday show, and it's normally not that big of a deal. But with the game already being moved up a day to Saturday this week, it wasn't a great week to run a day late. So there's not a ton of time between me recording this as I do this on Friday morning and kickoff, which is Saturday at 1 p.m. But in that time, I'm going to give you a lot to think about. We're going to have some fun here on a Saturday afternoon. I love the Saturday kickoffs in general, whether it was the Bucks or not, just having games on Saturday. I wish they had had some last week, although I know they don't want to step on Army-Navy's toes. And even if you have one Saturday night, I guess you don't want to have one against the Heisman Trophy thing. That's like an agreement. I don't know if it's an official agreement or not, but I mean, I didn't watch a single minute of the Heisman Trophy ceremony. Would have loved an NFL game last Saturday. But we get three on this particular weekend, and the first one of the week, of course, will be here at Raymond James Stadium when the Bucks host the Texans. So we're going to get to all that today, look back at that Lions win, look at where we are right now. This is the first time I am speaking to you with the Bucks having a non-losing record since the beginning of October when I did my show after the Bucks had beaten the Rams to get to 2-2. Since then, they've gone all the way as low as 3-7, and here we are now at 7-7 after the Bucks have won four in a row. The Free Stretch, as always, is brought to you by our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, the home of the nationwide lifetime warranty. When you buy a car there, after you have it for however many years it is, it doesn't matter. As long as you still are the one that owns the car, you can go take it back there. Engine trouble 3 years from now? Yeah, take it back there. You got problems or something like that? That's what the warranty does, and no one else does anything like that. Of course, that's on top of the 1 year of free service when you buy a car there, which is, again, oil changes, all that stuff. You take it in for the first year, they'll take care of it. 10 years of roadside assistance. You don't have to worry about AAA or anything like that. You've got it when you take your business to Bill Curry Ford. And you can see everything on the website. Go to BillCurryFord.com. It's C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You'll see the full inventory there. Brand new, used, pre-owned, everything. And if you go down there in person, after you do that, I'd recommend going to the website and checking things out. Then you can run down there or give them a call. Talk to my good friend, the GM, Sean Sullivan, and he will set you up. If you mention my name, if you mention the Free Stretch, if you mention Joe Bucks Fan at all, you'll get the Joe Bucks Fan discount on top of the already transparent online pricing. The holidays are a great time to look around, especially now that we're getting toward, you know, the end of the year. Got the new 20s in there, but of course you can probably get some really nice 19s too that are still brand new at a better number. Play the game. Go ahead and look around. And then on top of everything you find out there, know you've got the warranty waiting for you at Bill Curry Ford. So thanks to them. If you want to get a hold of me, I always love hearing from you guys. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. And then Twitter. So I always love hearing from you guys on Twitter. You can get me at BobbyGameDay. So a Saturday game for the Bucks. Like I said, the Bucks will play on a Saturday for the 19th time in their history, which I was trying to remember all the different Saturday games, and some of them have been like special occasions like this one where they put the Bucks game on a Saturday as part of only a small sampling of games. There have been other times where, like if it's Christmas Eve on a Sunday or something like that, in the past, I know they've done like the NFL games on a Saturday for that week, or if it's Christmas Day on a Sunday. I know they've messed with that a few times over the years, depending on how the calendar falls. So that's happened before where the Bucks game was just part of the regular week, but everything was done on Saturday. I remember a Monday night game against the Ravens. I can't remember exactly when, but I think it was like, it was post-Super Bowl, I believe, or it might have been pre- It was early 2000s sometime, and I think Monday night itself was Christmas Eve, so they did Monday night football on Saturday night. I remember the Bucks winning that game, and so there have been a few instances of it, but like I said, the Bucks are only 4-14 all-time when they play on a Saturday. Of course, there was no Thursday night football this week, and that was not received very well at the Fenton household. And I don't even know why there wasn't, because it wasn't like there was anything going on. I mean, I watched the Lightning game. I watched a little bit of the debate, and, you know, that's all well and good, but I don't know why there wasn't a Thursday game. Should have been a Thursday game. But at least we get three Saturday games here. And then, of course, the last Monday night game of the year is this week. And so take that into account. The last NFL game on a weeknight for, what is it, like 250 days or something like, until next September or August if you count the preseason games. That's going to be on this Monday night. And everything else is on the weekends. And that's fine. We've got a few of those precious weekends left. We've got this one. We've got week 17. And then we've got the playoffs. Now, as far as what the Bucs have left with these two games, 7-7 now, four-game winning streak. It was really good to see them. Again, I know they haven't played great teams during this winning streak, and I know that these are teams that if you're anywhere halfway decent, you're supposed to beat. But let me tell you something about what good teams do. Because we always talk about, oh, they're really good in close games. This team has been so-and-so in close games this year. The really good teams, okay, it's their record in non-close games that tells you how good of a team is. Good teams, it's not that their record in close games is good, although that certainly makes a difference in the NFL. You've only got 16 games. Every game is important, and a full season's worth of work and all the hopes and dreams every team has can come down to seriously a couple, a holding call or something on this play, a red zone series in some game you didn't even think about back in week 5, but they kicked a field goal instead of scoring the touchdown, and all of a sudden they didn't get where they needed to get. I mean, it is that close, but the good teams don't leave it to chance, and they're the ones that win comfortably more often than others, and that's what the Bucs have been doing lately against these substandard teams, to go out there and not just win a close game against the Lions, but to win with no doubt against the Lions. And that was a fun game to watch because the Bucs were up early and just kept pouring it on. They went 38-17. The Colts game was a close one that could have gone either way, although the Bucs had a larger lead early in that. It ended up being close. But the Jaguars game, same way. The Falcons game before that, same way. Bucs didn't mess around in those games. They got out to leads. It might have tightened a little bit later on, but you never really felt like they were going to lose the football game, and they did the same thing to the Lions this week. So Jameis Winston, first of all, he goes back-to-back now with 450-yard passing weeks. That has never been done ever in the regular season. Drew Brees did it in the 2011 playoffs, actually, back-to-back, but that's still only one other time. So there's been two instances ever where this has happened. And there's all these other records that keep coming up. And, the Bucs have been doing a lot offensively the past few weeks, and it's the first time this has happened, or only one of a handful of times that has happened, whatever you want to call it. Let me say this, okay? I know the passing rules have opened up. I know things are different now. I know it's a different league, but it's been that way. This isn't the first year it's been that way. It's been that way for several years now that the NFL has been opened up like this passing-wise. I would have to, what was the rule changes that officially... I know they haven't all happened all at once, but it's been at least like 5, 6, 7, maybe almost a decade of the NFL being this wide open, okay? So it's not like it just happened. And even in all that time, people have not done some of the things Jameis Winston has done, both good and bad, both the interception stuff, which he's out in front in that category over various periods of time at record-setting paces, but yards, touchdowns. I mean, he leads the league in yards, right? And then he's just behind Lamar Jackson for touchdown. I mean, what if he leads the league in everything? What if he somehow finds a way to lead the league in picks, yards, and touchdowns by the time this whole thing is over? I'm kind of rooting for that to happen in a way. I mean, obviously not the picks part, but it'd just be kind of a cool distinction, right? But either way, what we wanted before this season started, what I talked about before this season started, besides any wins or losses or anything like that, was that I was hoping for clarity by the end of the season with Jameis Winston. And even as recently as a few weeks ago, we didn't have that clarity. I think now, at the very least, it's pretty well agreed upon, right, that he's going to be back next year. I mean, it's not agreed upon. He is going to be back next year. But it's agreed upon that he should be back next year by most of the fan base. And it's amazing, we were here at this point, halfway through the year, like 6, 7 weeks ago. And we're all sitting here saying, at this point, he's got nearly a 5-season body of work. And we're still asking questions about, can this work long term? And so are we really going to wait and see for the handful of games left? What happens in the next few games? Should that really sway you one way or another if you haven't been swayed already? you know, we talked about that. I remember talking about on this show. And it appears to actually be happening that way. Like, you wouldn't think at this point with all we already know that a couple games one way or the other would make that much of a difference. But this is how the world works. Recency bias is a real thing. People remember the most recent thing a lot more clearly, and their decisions are informed mainly by what the most recent thing is. And yeah, I'm not getting political here, but this is the same thing with the presidential race or the Democratic nominee race. You see all these people, and I'm not like endorsing anything or any one side. Don't worry, I'm not doing that on the show today. My point is, though, like every week, every day, hell, it seems like there's new polls and people want to declare, oh, well, this is how it is. This is what's going to happen now. And then next week there's a poll that says something different. Oh, well, this is how it is. And it changes like literally almost daily, if not weekly. And what you have to remember is that months from now, all this stuff we spent all the days poring over now, everything we're talking about right now will mean nothing 2 weeks from now, much less 2 months from now. And 2 months from now, all that stuff we're talking about will mean nothing when it's 4 months from now. It's so up and down. It's so back and forth in this day and age. You know, people, they want to make these declarations. They want to say this is how it is as quickly as they can. They want to be out in front of everything. And I talked about this on my Lightning show that I do on TBLPowerPlay.com. It's the same thing because you've got people with the Lightning. And, you know, they've been struggling a little bit this season, and then they've been playing better. And even now, we're only in December, and just there's months to go, and none of this means anything. But the point is, like, I think people really feel like they have to be the one to have said first, oh, the Lightning are fine. And when the Lightning end up winning the Stanley Cup or not in the playoffs, I told you back in December I was worried about them and that this wasn't going to be what I thought and that y'all should be worried. Y'all said not to worry. There was plenty of time, but I said you should worry. I was right. And other people are like, oh, no, I was the one back in January who said keep an eye on these guys. They're struggling right now, but they're going to put it together. Look, you know, nobody cares. Like, you don't have to do that. Especially fans who are, I mean, I have a show on Joe Bucks Fan. I used to do sports talk radio. And there's a little more of a justification for it then because, you know, you feel like you have to sound smarter than everybody else and you have to be a prophet and foresee these things because otherwise, why would you have a show? But that's not the reason you, sports talk show host's job is to be entertaining. It's not to be right. And same thing with the free stretch here. It's not my job to tell you something that's going to happen before you saw it happening, because I saw it happening first. The truth is, even the smartest people, even the people, whether it's coaches, players, or, you know, media show hosts, whatever, even they have no idea. Nobody knows. And the other important thing is nobody's keeping track. So you don't have to be here today making this sweeping declaration. Oh, well, that's it for Jameis. It's never going to work. Or that's it for Bruce Arians. I saw what I needed to see. Or on the other side, you don't have to be that guy either that says, well, no, we need to, Jameis is going to be a success in this league. I will defend this to the death. You don't have to say that. You can just say, yeah, I don't know. I mean, like a few weeks ago, it seemed like he was, you know, it just wasn't going to work out. And now he's played better. He's managed the interceptions, even though he still has a few. So now maybe it looks like he could be good. But next week it might change. You can just say that. Like, you don't have to be right. You don't have to know. I'm not going to pull out my ledger here, you know, 5 years from now and say, oh, Steve in Dade City, he said it. He said Jameis Winston would win the Super Bowl even after that three-pick day he had against Green Bay or whatever the hell it was. You know, I'm not going to look back at that. Nobody is. Nobody's keeping score. Nobody cares what Frank McHandjob in Pinellas Park thinks about Jameis on December 20th, 2019. No one's going to go back and check that in 2022, 2023. And that goes for me, too. You don't have to be making these sweeping, bold proclamations. This is how it is, and this is how it's going to be. It's okay to just let it play out and just watch. So, I don't know. You know, this week, I mean, just this week, we'll stick to that. Forget about the offseason or next season or anything like that. Just this week, you know, you're going up against two kind of conflicting things. You've got a Houston defense that's not very good. In DVOA, their defense is ranked 27th. And the one strength of their defense is their linebackers, and they're decimated there. Jacob Martin is out Bernhardrick McKinney's been ruled out. Martin in particular, that's going to hurt their already weak pass rush. So, I mean, you would think that the Bucs should have a decent time there. And as far as the offensive line, and Donovan Smith's supposed to be back, you know, they have a chance to eat a little bit here again, don't they? Right? But then, oh, wait. Well, Mike Evans is gone. Chris Godwin's gone. He's not going to be back for the year. Okay, well, that's okay. We got some depth, guys. Scotty Miller, he's gone too. Rashad Perriman's been elevated to number one, and he's been playing well lately. Perriman and Justin Watson are our one and two right now. And Jameis has made that go because, I mean, he was without Evans last week. Godwin ended up going out of the game after producing last week. But Watson's come up big. Scotty Miller caught a touchdown before he went out of the game last week. Tanner Hudson made some plays. Oh, yeah, Tanner Hudson, the number three tight end, he's out too. So you're looking at receiver. You're looking at Perriman, Justin Watson. That's your one and two right now. Spencer Schnell, who is everybody's hero in the preseason, he's been called back up. Ishmael Hyman, okay, who actually made a catch for a first down the other day. And now they called up a guy, Cyril Grayson Jr., who was a track star at LSU and has not played in an NFL regular season game in 8 years. That's your five receivers. Of course, they're going to lean hard on O.J. Howard, and they're going to lean hard on Cameron Brate. But you look at this Texans defense, particularly their pass defense, and their lack of a pass rush, and you think, all right, here we go again. Maybe Jameis can go trips 450 3 weeks in a row. And then you go, oh, well, it's going to take some guys stepping up quite a bit because, you know, they don't have almost anybody. And, you know, Justin Watson can do it. He's played pretty okay. Perriman's played pretty okay. I'd like to see more from obviously we're going to see more from guys like Spencer Schnell. And with that in the tight ends, it can be done. The over-under on the game is high. I think the over-under in the game is like 50 points. So people are expecting offense. And of course, we know what the Texans can do, if not defensively, offensively. Their DVOA on offense is 11th, which isn't quite as high as I would have thought, but it's 11th. And of course, the Bucs defense been playing better and better lately. Again, granted it's against lesser competition, but DVOA takes that into account. And the Bucs DVOA is 9th defensively. By the way, if you look at the highest percentage of incomplete passes when targeted in the NFL, we got two guys in the top four. Jamel Dean, by a good amount, by the way, leads the NFL. All defensive backs, okay, in percentage of passes that have been incomplete when thrown his way. 32.6%. No one else is above, I think, 26%. Carlton Davis is number four at 21.1%. We got two guys in the top four in that secondary. Now, the Texans, DeAndre Hopkins, he was a little bit limited in practice early in the week, but he's been full go the past few days. Will Fuller is expected to be back. Carlos Hyde and Fuller are both listed as questionable officially, but they'll both probably play. It's going to be a challenge for this Bucs defense. I mean, they haven't played anybody of this caliber. You could say, you know, you look at Atlanta with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and all that stuff, and they did a pretty good job a few weeks ago there. But this will be a tougher assignment than certainly Detroit. I mean, this isn't David Blau, okay? This isn't Jacoby Brissett, and what a clown show the Colts are. That effort Monday night against the Saints was pathetic. This isn't the Jags with Gardner Minshew replacing Nick Foles. This is a quality offense, and it's going to be a tall order. It's going to be fun. I mean, this is a fun, fun atmosphere, I think. This is a fun game. Playoff implications for the Texans. If only it meant as much to us, it'd be even more fun. Obviously, the Bucs are not in the playoff race. But, I mean, this is a game people are going to be watching, one, because it's the only NFL game on. But, two, there aren't many games that have this week huge playoff implications as far as being in or out. There's obviously games that matter as far as seeding and home field advantage and first round buys. But aside from Dallas, Philadelphia this week, I mean, there's not a ton of games that have a lot on the line. This is one of them. And so for the Texans, it's a big one. And of course, being a national game, it's on NFL Network. If you don't get NFL Network, and I'm not sure if we're doing, a lot of times if a game's on NFL Network, they put it on like one of the local channels like WWOR or something like that here in town so people can still watch it. So I think they might. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But it's very possible they're still doing that. But If they're not, you know, you can email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, and I can hook you up with a way to watch the game. I'm like your guy. I'm your dealer, okay? So you call, you email me. I'll take care of you guys if you need it. But you shouldn't need it. I think they're putting it on. I think. THINK. Not sure. Think they're putting it on local TV. We'll find out about that. As far as considerations for these final 2 weeks, and we've talked every single show during this winning streak about how I care about the draft, but I no longer care about like, oh, we need to lose to get a better draft pick. If you want to have a winning culture, the way you do that is to win. It, you know, I always say every week, it's not we lose because we have a losing culture. It's we have a losing culture because we lose. You know, winning begets winning thoughts and winning feelings. Before you start winning, you don't say, hey, we're going to have a winning culture. You just do it by winning. And they're doing that right now. And I think I'm not a big momentum guy. I say that all the time. I don't believe in like, hey, we won our last few games of the season, and that springs us forward through the offseason. Especially in college football, you'll hear that. A team will have a big win in its bowl game, and everybody goes nuts and like ranks them way, way higher than they should be in the preseason polls the next season. But there are times when I think it's important, especially this team with the first year under Bruce Arians and with the way they started out. And I think psychologically it's more important to win football games right now than it is to pick 8th instead of 13th or whatever it ends up being. You know, I know the Bucs were as high as like the 5th pick in the draft a few weeks ago before this streak. Now they're closer to 20th or the low teens. That's fine, okay? I really think it is. Especially playing a good team this week that needs this game and that playoff implications are on the line. Like, this will have a playoff-type level of intensity for the Texans. To see the Bucs, if they can go out and match that and beat a team that's hungry like that, that clinches if they win, I think that's important. You know, I wish we could get playoff reps for these guys. Like, I wish we could play in a wild card game. I wish Jameis Winston could get out there and play in a situation like that, but that's not going to happen. But at the very least, this will have a playoff type of atmosphere. Speaking of Jameis, by the way, I forgot to mention this a few minutes ago, but as far as how people's perceptions can change and things like that and how quickly they change, Greg Allman, the Bucs beat writer for The Athletic, they've been doing a poll every 2 weeks, like basically a confidence poll on Joe Bucs Fan. If you go to joebucsfan.com, there's always a Bruce Arians confidence poll every week. He's done Jameis confidence polls. The Joes always have polls there too, and it's the same thing. The one on The Athletic every 2 weeks has basically four categories for Jameis Winston. Sign him to a long-term deal. Sign him to the franchise tag. Keep him for 1 year. Trash him. Get rid of him. Move on or not sure. So let's count the top two boxes, either signing him to a long-term deal or franchise tagging him. Let's combine those into one. Basically, keep Jameis Winston for at least another season or get rid of him or not sure. Those three categories. In the past four polls, again, they've done every 2 weeks, November 6th, this was just off the heels of the 40-34 overtime loss in Seattle that moved the Buccaneers to 2-6. After that game, 54% said keep Jameis at least for the next year, if not longer. 28.5% said get rid of him, so that's nearly half, almost double when to keep him, and 17.5% were not sure. The low point 2 weeks later was the November 18th poll after the Bucs had lost to the Saints 34-17, their worst loss of the season outside of maybe the London game, and certainly the one that felt the worst. It was at home. It was against the Saints. All those Saints fans were there. I was there at the game, went with my family, and it was a crappy day all around. And the Bucs dropped to 3-7. Jameis was terrible, picks all over the place. Saints had a pick six that pretty much clinched it. And after that game, only 41%, down from 54%, 2 weeks prior, 41% wanted to keep Jameis in any capacity, 45% wanted him gone, 13.5% weren't sure. Fast forward 2 more weeks after the win in Jacksonville. The Bucs moved to 5-7 after that win, and it was up to 67%, two-thirds of people saying, yeah, let's stick with Jameis. 20% is all it was that said get rid of him, and 13% still undecided. You can see how this fluctuates just based on 2 games at a time already. And then finally, the most recent one earlier this week, off the heels of the Detroit win, the Bucs are now 7-7, winners of 4 in a row, and a whopping 87.5% of respondents are all about keeping Jameis Winston at least for a season, if not all the way. Can you guess how many want to move on from him now just based on, this is just a poll, a Twitter poll. 7.5%. 5% still aren't sure. So a lot of people made up their minds in the past couple weeks about Jameis. And it's like I've been saying, I mean, he's going to throw picks. We have to decide, we have to find a way to manage them, much in the way like the Packers and Mike Holmgren managed Brett Favre's picks. And I'm not comparing Jameis Winston and Brett Favre directly, but I'm saying it was that type of thing. There were quarterbacks who are a little looser with the ball than others. I think Jameis, even if he improves in this aspect, will always be in that category of guys who are maybe a little looser. So can you win with someone like that consistently? We know the Bucs have played better lately, but they're still 7-7 overall, and they've still severely hurt themselves this season with turnovers, and it's a big reason why they're not instead 8-6 right now, or maybe even better, even 9-5 or something like that. Of course, they could have been easily that way with just a couple of plays changed, but you know, if you look at all the turnovers and stuff, those count. So that's a decision the Bucs have to make, because you know, what you're banking on and what I've been saying all along is how young Jameis is. And when you look at guys, not that a young guy can't win the Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson might win the Super Bowl this year, and he's younger than Joe Burrow, who's still in finishing up college. Like, did you realize that? Like, Lamar Jackson is younger than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow just won the Heisman for LSU. He's older than Lamar Jackson, who is in his second year here in the NFL and may very well play in the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not saying young guys can't or haven't done it, but I think Jameis is just getting into that age where his prime Super Bowl years would be happening. So can there be more growth? Are you a he-is-what-he-is-and-he'll-never-change person, or are you a, well, he can improve upon certain aspects of his game person and preserve the positive aspects of his game? And this show and I have fallen into the latter camp for some time now. But I wanted to throw those numbers out at you and just let you know the general state of Bucs fans. And of course, again, go to Joe Bucs Fan. There'll be a confidence poll there. I mean, if you go down there now, there's one there from a few days ago, but there's always one every week, and there'll be another one this week at the single best place on the internet for Bucs coverage. Now, one other thing I've been hearing, and I don't ever want to sound like I'm lecturing people or that I think I'm the smartest guy in the room or anything like that, but I see all these misconceptions that pop up yearly, and there's one really popular one in this time of year, and I call him strength of schedule guy. And there's people who still don't really understand how the NFL schedule formula works, and they think, oh my God, if we finish second in the division, we get a second place schedule, and if we finish fourth, we get a fourth place schedule. Oh my God, this is the, I don't know if I want him to win. Not even about the draft pick. People that aren't even talking about draft status or draft position are saying, oh my God, what if we finish second? And now next year, dude, we got a second place schedule instead of a fourth place schedule, man. It's just going to be tough, you know? Okay, listen. Like, this is not interpretation. The NFL has a schedule formula. And it has not changed for years and years and years, and it's not changing anytime soon. If they add a 17th game, I'm not sure how they would classify that 17th game. But for the 16-game schedule, we already know the opponents for years going forward in perpetuity. It's a simple formula, and it's a cycle that goes around every few years. For 14 of the 16 games, okay? So we already know 14 of the Bucs' 16 games, not just for next season, but for like the 2028 season. I could look it up and tell you what their opponents are. Again, barring a change to that formula. You play everybody in your division, home and road. That's six games, right? There's three other teams in your four-team division. There's you and three other teams. So that's six games. Then on a rotating basis, you play one other division in your conference, all four teams. So that rotates every 3 years because there's four divisions. We're in the South. So it goes, you know, east, west, central, or east, west, north, east, west, north, east, west, north. I'm not sure if that's the exact order, but it goes in that cycle. Like the other three divisions, you play all four teams in one division. So now we're up to 10 games. Same thing for the AFC, only it's on a four-year cycle. You play each other division in the AFC, all four teams in it, every 4 years. So you'll play the AFC East 1 year, then the North 1 year, then the West 1 year, then the South 1 year, and it rotates back around. So that means that every 4 years you play each team in the AFC, and every 8 years you play at every stadium in the AFC and they come to you. Whereas it's every 3 years and every 6 years in the NFC. So that, we're up to what now? 14 games, right? And then just two games, the other two divisions that aren't the division you're playing all four teams in anyway, the other two divisions in your conference, you play the team that finished in the same spot you did in the standings. So like next year, for example, we already have it right here, okay? The Buccaneers, and I'll probably go over this again next week on my show next week after the, when we're going into the last game of the regular season. But the Bucs next year play, of course, the NFC South, six games. They play the entire NFC North for four games. The two at home are Green Bay and Minnesota. The two on the road are Detroit and Chicago. We know that already. They play the entire AFC West. The two at home are Kansas City and the Chargers. The two on the road are Denver and Las Vegas. I actually had to write LV, the little abbreviation, when I was making my notes for the show. It felt weird because I almost wrote OAK, and they actually play at Las Vegas. In fact, it's possible they could be the first game in Las Vegas, depending on how the schedule makers do it, although they'll probably choose somebody with, you know, maybe closer ties to the Raiders. But those are the four road games, or four, those are the four AFC West games: Kansas City and the Chargers at home, the Raiders and the Broncos on the road next year. So that's 14 games. All that's being determined right now as far as where the Bucs finish in the division is they'll play this whatever place team that matches them on the road in the NFC East, and they'll play the NFC West team at home. So the Bucs are in second place, two games ahead of both the Panthers and the Falcons. It's most likely they'll finish in second place. In fact, if they win either of their final two games, they will finish in second place. But even if they lose both of them, the Falcons and or Panthers would have to win both of theirs, and there'd be a 7-9 tie, and then depending on tiebreakers. So the Bucs could technically finish anywhere from second to fourth. But that's just two out of 16 games. Now, you might be saying, well, Bobby, it's still two games, you know? Could be the difference between 7-9, 9-7, between 8-8, and 10-6. Still matters. Well, you know what? How wildly do teams swing back and forth from year to year as far as how good they are? I'll bet you, if you drew the 49ers this year as your last place team, if you finished last, and the Bucs played them anyway because the Bucs played the entire NFC West this year, but for the teams in the North and the East that played the 49ers this year that drew them because they finished dead last, I'll bet you a lot of teams are like, oh, cool, you know, we got a break with the 49ers, and they're like one of the best teams in football now. Same thing with the Bears, who were good last year, and you might have drawn them on your schedule. People are like, oh, man, we drew the Bears. You know, that's what you get for playing a first or second place. Or the Bears were first last year, right? They won the NFC North, if I'm not mistaken. So they are very average this year. So you have no idea right now if the Bucs finish second, if that happens in the NFC North or NFC South, they would draw either the Cowboys or the Eagles. We have no idea who that'll be yet. And either the Seahawks or the 49ers. And again, who those teams year to year, I mean, who knows? Like, it's just not worth it. The whole point of this past five-minute spiel I've gone on is the point is don't worry about the damn schedule strength. I mean, schedule strength does matter. It matters a great deal. But it's not determined, is what I'm telling you, by where you finish in your division so much as it just depends on the formula, who you play, and just the yearly swings and ebbs and flows of how franchises are up 1 year, down another year, or anything like that. So you don't know in a given year what playing the 49ers would have meant. Last year it was a cakewalk. This year you're getting one of the best teams in the NFC. The same thing could apply to several teams. Do not worry about it. Just worry about beating the damn Texans, because I'll tell you what. How much fun are you having? This is probably the most fun I've ever had watching the... Well, I want to say ever. This is the most fun I've had watching the Bucs in a long time where nothing was on the line. Because usually when nothing's on the line, I have a hard time getting into it. I mean, I look back to when I was a kid, and this is probably the first time since I was a kid that I've cared this much about Bucs games that didn't have any playoff implications, that the Bucs were eliminated. Like, I've really, really gotten into it lately, and not because I'm a bandwagoner, because obviously, if you know anything about me, you know how long I've been following this team. And none of you are bandwagoners either if you've been sticking with them the past 10 years. But I'm just, you know, I've been having, maybe it's because of my son, like he's getting into it now, and he reminds me of me when I was his age, where I didn't care about what the team record was, or I didn't even know what the team record was. I just wanted the Bucks to win because I was born and raised in Tampa, and we had a football team, and that was our team. And that's all I knew, my little brain, and you know, when I was 8, 10, 12 years old, that's as far as it went for my brain processing those things. And now with him doing the same thing I used to do, I don't want to sit there and be like, him going, "Daddy, Daddy, the Bucks scored." Whatever, they're out of the playoffs. You know, I want to be that jerk. So I've been getting into it. I've been having fun, and I'm gonna have again a lot of fun tomorrow. I'm gonna get together with some friends tomorrow. We're gonna watch it. Everybody's excited in a way that I never would have thought they could be if you had told me they would be out of the playoff race by this time of the year, which in and of itself wouldn't have been surprising. But the fact that we're all getting together and doing the types of things that we've always done early in the year and stopped doing by this time of year. It's not just because they've won four in a row, but that doesn't hurt. I'm not sure if the Bucks were, you know, 3-10 or something like that, or 4-10. I'm not sure if we'd still be doing it. But it's been fun the past few weeks, and it's fun to play in a game like this where at least even if we don't have anything on the line, the other team does, and there's national interest and things like that. It raises the profile a little bit. And these are the types of games where if you play well in them, like this is a national TV game, then maybe it informs next year's schedule a little bit. Maybe the NFL people give the Bucks an extra Monday nighter or a Sunday nighter that they wouldn't have gotten if they impress on national TV. I'm not saying that's what happens. I have no idea. But if they go out and play an entertaining game and both teams are going back and forth and the Bucks, even if the Bucks don't win, but if they just play an exciting game and the game does well on NFL Network and people are watching it, that might help next year when we get something other than just your garden variety Sunday at 1 p.m. games. So with all that said, just have fun with it. Let's have a good time, especially with it being a Saturday game and it's around the holidays. I think a lot of people may have friends in town that live out of town and are, that's what tomorrow's a good example of that with me. There's going to be a few people there that aren't in town usually, guys that have moved or stuff, but that I know from back in the day. And we're getting more of them together than we usually do because of that. So it just kind of sets up to be a fun day, a fun weekend. I have no idea whether the Bucks will win or lose or not. That's not what I'm talking about, though. Just the idea that here's a chance to get together with friends and have some fun watching the football game. We're going to do that tomorrow. I hope you do, too. But no matter what you do tomorrow, whether you watch it alone or with family or friends or whatever it is, the important thing, let's have some fun. It's the holidays. Whether you're, you know, religious or not religious, or whether it's Hanukkah or Christmas or Kwanzaa or anything. I know New Year's is also one of the holidays, so we got that one too. You know, it's always a good time of year to take stock, try to enjoy your family around you, and you should do that all the time. Obviously, we all should, but even more so this time of year. Just have fun. Be safe. Whatever it is you're celebrating in this next week or two, I hope you have a great one. I will be back next week as we get ready for week 17. But in the meantime, Bucks Texans, 1 o'clock Saturday kickoff. Let's have some fun with it. Thanks to our good friends and sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. Thanks to the Joes, joebucksfan.com, for giving me this platform in front of you. The number one place anywhere for Bucks coverage. New content constantly, year-round, 365 days. Most of all, thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Bobby Fenton. That is the Free Stretch for week 16. And I will be back next week. In the meantime, have fun, be safe, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and damn it, go Bucks!